Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. Trevor Sikkema here with Benjamin Solek. It is a Wednesday. We're running through these edge players. And Ben, it is underclassman day. Ben set this schedule up this way because we were like, all right, we want to get to, I think, what was the first one that you did this for? Wide receivers or running backs when you did it?
We did it for wide receivers.
Okay.
Because when we watched running backs, we watched Travis Etienne and DeAndre Swift.
Right.
And then none of the other running backs were good.
Right. So we tried it. We're trying to avoid that mental block or that mindset that we put ourselves in.
Because this runner is kind of slow. Yeah, it seems like he doesn't have a great top speed. Yeah, it just doesn't seem like he has that extra gear. Well, we all watched Travis Etienne first, so we got a problem.
Right, so we're trying to avoid that a little bit. But it's actually been pretty good for the other classes or the other positions in this class that we've been able to take a look at. Here with some of the edge guys that we looked at early on in the week, those upperclassmen, I was actually pretty impressed with them. Really like this group so far, and now we're getting to some of the really high-class underclassmen. And we've got three premier guys that if you have read a way-too-early mock draft yet, you've likely seen all three of these names. Now, we teased at the beginning of the podcast, or at the end of the podcast yesterday, that we were going to start right out of the gate. We had to get to Chase Young first, because Chase Young, defensive end out of Ohio State, played opposite Nick Bosa last year, even though Nick really didn't.
Three games Nick Bosa
played. Right, Nick didn't really play a ton, but that was what it was supposed to be in theory, and in the couple games that we actually got that, it was terrifying to watch these two play on the edges together, because it was basically, it's not a matter of if they get to the quarterback, it's basically a race to who gets it first.
When and which one.
Right, when he was on there. So, Ben, I saw you tweet earlier a gif that you were excited that you were popping in Chase Young tape for the first time. What did you think of this guy from Ohio State?
Trevor!
Let me just talk about some ancillary things to like about Chase Young. One, has dreadlocks, okay? Great start. Two, the name Chase Young? I mean, come on. That's a phenomenal football name. And three, he wears number two. Like,
very strong.
These are all elements that go towards who a prospect is. And as I said on Twitter, you scout the number, not the name. If he wears a good number, he's good enough for me. Put him in the pros.
Right.
Sorry.
But also, the name Chase Young is good.
It's. I mean, that's actually true. All right, give us the meat and cheese.
Number and the name. Man, they built this kid in a lab.
Yep.
I mean, he must have been, they put him in a test tube or something. 6'5", 265, absolutely rocked up, heels to shoulders. I mean, the dude's just tightly wound. And then the length as well. I mean, his hands, for a guy who's playing as a true sophomore who is technically not a starting player as a freshman, I mean, the hand usage is really, really good. And then also 265 and can bend. 265 and his ability, we talk, when we talk about bend, right, your ability to bend, well, usually that, people translate that, they generalize that, I should say, into winning the outside corner, right? Like being able to win on the outside rush.
Right.
But there's multiple different ways to do that. And Chase Young is not super bendy, reduce the surface area, right?
Right.
He's 6'5".
Right.
And if I had a complaint about him, it would be that he's upright out of his stance and his first step is a little truncated, right? So he's not firing low and hot out. He pops up a little bit. And so this isn't a guy with bend the way that you would say like a Von Miller has bend, in terms of Miller's getting that shoulder down at his knees, you know what I mean? And he's turning that corner at ridiculous angles. That's not what Chase Young has. But the ability to get his foot in the ground, have the strength in his joints, ankle and the knee, to bend that corner by sticking that foot in the ground and fighting pressure with pressure. Chase Young will swat your hands very consistently at his head, second outside step, at that third step, and then he's able to get his shoulder into your shoulder and fight pressure with pressure, right? He's able to use that contact and that strength and that push to bend right around you. And he has the frame, the rocked up frame, to hold that power, to hold you in place as you're trying to push him past the peak of the pocket and keep things tight to the quarterback set point. And that is thrilling, because when you are as large as he is, as stout as he is, as sound against the run as he is, as good with your hands as he is, and he still has the ability to take tight corners and finish. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you how many really good edges, how many edges in college would be really good playing at a great size, and they have strength, and they're good against the run, if they could just take corners the way Chase Young takes corners. And that's what's special and exciting about Chase Young. Now, as I said, I have my complaints. I think that I think he's very quick. I think he's very explosive, but I think that his stance and how he gets out of it affects his explosiveness, and there's a bit of a sap. There's a bit of a draw.
He's winning a lot off of natural talent right now. I don't think that there's any doubt about that. Not to say that he doesn't do certain things well. For example, I think that his best move is clearly when he loves to swipe the hands, right? I mean, Kyle said this before when he was doing his little live streams. You can't block what you can't touch, right? So when Chase Young fires off that ball, he loves to use his hands to swipe away the offensive lineman's hands. And he's got pretty good accuracy with it. So I see it all the time where he'll get off the snap and he'll swipe the offensive lineman's hands away. But then something that I do really well, and I didn't mean to cut you off on a criticism, but I guess I'm just kind of rolling here. So the things that the things that he does really well is he combines those hands with. Now I agree with you. He doesn't have the best natural elite flexibility or crazy bend or something like that.
He's not running under a table. He ain't doing it.
But he can flip his hips, man. He combines that swipe of the hands with flipping his hips completely, and then that next step is towards the quarterback. So he doesn't even necessarily have to bend because the flipping of his hips are so quick, and it's all one motion. It is swiping the hands away, flipping the hips over, next steps right towards the quarterback, and then you're right on the outside shoulder of the offensive tackle or even beyond him. So that's what I think that he does really well and how he continues to be a speed rusher even without great consistent leverage and elite flexibility or bend around the corner. But get to your area of where you think that he needed to improve, because I have one as well.
Yeah, so I thought that we could improve that, like I said, that first step coming out of the stance. I think he pops up a little bit out of his stance, right? I want to circle back to something you said, though, now that we're kind of doing a figure eight here in terms of how this narrative is going. But, you know, he's winning a lot on natural talent. Yes, he is. The hand usage isn't perfect. You know what I mean? He's not necessarily winning with, I think he could develop a long arm bull rush that he doesn't have right now. I think the one-handed SWAT, they're productive. They're not perfect. You know what I mean? So, whatever. But I'm going to say something, and it's not just, don't take it out of context. So yes,
I can't wait to clip just this and tweet it.
Yes, Chase Young is winning of natural talent and natural athleticism a lot. But I remember a 6'5", 270-pound defensive end out of Texas A&M went by the name Miles Garrett, who was winning with natural athleticism a lot, right? But you were watching.
There it is, folks. The Miles Garrett comp. Now, hold on. It's really funny that you said that, because in doing so, I had a little bit of extra time to watch a couple of different videos of some interviews with Chase Young. And they actually were interviewing, I believe it was Jalen Holmes from a couple of years ago. And Jalen Holmes, former Ohio State defensive lineman, I think now with the Minnesota Vikings, he said that he thinks that Chase Young is going to be a future number one overall pick. And they asked him why, and he kind of went on to explain it. And he said, and he basically said, he's better than Miles Garrett. Use Miles Garrett's name.
I mean, I'm not there. And I want to make very clear that I'm not there. I've watched 3 games of Chase Young sophomore year. I is not Miles Garrett.
No, he's not.
When Garrett was winning with natural ability, right, because he was winning so much with natural athleticism, you were watching and you're saying, I acknowledge he's doing that. But here's the thing. This kid's enough of an athlete that this will probably translate to the NFL. And I don't feel this similarly about Young, where his athleticism wins. You're like, listen, I've seen quick, long, and fast offensive tackles. They're still going to struggle with that nonsense.
Yeah, right. No, he's good. Chase Young's really good. I think my criticism of him, and it goes back to kind of him being raw. And I think that he has not needed to be as disciplined as a lot of other edges would have had to be because of what you just talked about there, because of his natural athleticism and how good he is. So I think in that sense, more times than I would have liked, I thought that he got caught a little bit, not really setting the edge as well as he needed to. Sometimes he got fooled a little bit and was out of place when maintaining a gap. And so there were plays here and there where I was like, okay, he was a little bit of a liability here. And that's a big thing for Chase Young, is that even if the highs can still translate to an NFL level, I need those lows to be lifted higher. You're too good, you're too strong, you're too long to be able to really be out of place, I think, as much as I felt like I saw Chase Young when I was watching him as a sophomore. So that floor of what I'm getting on a run basis, run defense level, I want that to be a little bit higher for Chase Young, because I thought he was out of place a lot more than he needed to be last year.
I acknowledge the complaint. I don't. Just give me the highs.
And that's fair. That's fair, dude. Hey, we're talking about, it is the summertime. We are talking about what you can do, right? I mean, that's what this is all about. Let's go to Epinesa next. AJ Epinesa from Iowa is the next guy that we were talking about. And I don't know what they are feeding these people in Iowa outside of just corn. But maybe it's just corn, because they have
a young fella.
They've got some dudes. And over the last couple of years, they've had some dudes over there at Iowa. Epinesa is good, man. He's about 6'5". 270, very, very strong. I think it's clear that this guy wins with power, but also there are those couple of times when I watched about three or four games of his where he gets off that ball and he might even dip that shoulder a little bit, and I go, buddy, you're 270. If you can do this, I'm gonna lose my mind. And a couple of times he actually did. So really rare guy, I think, for his size. His how he wins consistently is still going to be with power, I think. I think that when he gets his hands on you, you're really in trouble. If he push-pulls you, man, you're just going to go flying. I don't even care how big you are of an offensive tackle. I saw some guys really struggle with him. If you let, which is tough because Epinesa is really long too, if you really let him get his hands where he wants him to go, he's going to dictate that entire one-on-one matchup. He's that strong. I think he's that built, and he's that good. So clearly much more of a power guy. I think he's a true hand-in-the-dirt, three-point, four-point kind of a player when we're talking about an edge guy. I think Chase Young could be a little bit of a stand-up, but obviously he did a lot of his work from a three-point stance as well. I think that Epinesa is clearly just a guy who's going to come from the ground and fire off with leverage like that. But I really liked what I saw from him with power, because he wasn't just a power guy. I thought he was really strong at what he did there, but he also gave you some surprise speed elements. And I really do mean that that's a surprise, because I didn't think that a guy that big was going to show me the agility and even a little bit of the flexibility that I saw a lot from Epinesa. What'd you think?
The interesting thing about AJ Epinesa is that he's better than Chase Young.
Okay, there it is.
Listen, I made the joke ages ago, and I said I wanted to make sure I watched them before I was really ready to put the take out on the internet, but the take's going out on the internet. It'll be out on the Twitter machine tomorrow.
Better tag the podcast.
Thursday.
Better tag the podcast.
Right, it's out on the podcast, but I want to put it in writing and break down why I think so, and hopefully do so at some point this week. I have to check my published schedule, see what my next open topic is. Trevor Epinesa, what are we doing? Are you serious?
He's good. Very good.
Listen. 35% of the snaps led the Big Ten in sacks. 10.5.
Get out of here.
15.5 tackle for.
Oh, man.
35%. 35% of the snaps. He was a backup. They had him backing up Anthony Nelson, your favorite player, who's now Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Can we flip him?
Dude, he makes Nelson look small, firstly. I mean, the dude is a superhero in terms of his build. Off of the ball, I would not say he's as explosive as Young. He's not as explosive as
I mean, like, you don't compare apples to oranges a little bit here. You know what I'm saying? Like, Epinesa is bigger. He is a bigger guy.
Exactly.
So
that was going to be my point, is that, like, when you have the stride length that he does, he has a more than sufficient, more than enough, excessive first step ability to win the way that he wants to win. Because I'm telling you right now, for a guy with his power and his length, if you as an offensive tackle can't come off square, if you open your hips just a little bit, ball game. Oh man, you brought up the push pull. He's ragdolling 300.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
I'm looking up. I'm like, all right, like who's he facing? All right, all right, left tackle, Mississippi State. How big is this kid?
So what's a hold on. What's a push pull? Let's explain this because I want to. I want to get better at this. Do you want to do it or you want me to do it?
I'm on it. We talked about snatch trap. I talked about a little bit with Derek Brown. Snatch trap and push pull are very similar sort of ideas. For a push pull, AJ Epenesa has got real long arms, so he's going to land his hands on the inside of your chest, and he's going to get the full extension. He's going to lock those elbows out. That's the push, right? He just pushed you. He disengaged you from him. Now he's got control of your chest. He's got control of your mass. You don't have as long of arms as he does, so he can hold you at length and keep you there. Now, all right, he's reading the run. He's reading the run. Your running back decides which hole he wants to go into. Here comes the pull. Epenesa had pushed you out. He had locked his elbows. Now he violently rips your chest down into the turf, pulls you into the ground. He's still upright. Now he's able to go make a play on the running back. As a pass rush move, it's also effective, especially for guys like Epenesa, who may be playing the run first. You know, you're playing a Big Ten team. You're very much expecting the run first. So I go, I get my hands inside. I push. I see play action. I see that you're not handing the ball off. And now I pull. I flip my hips. I clear you. And now I have a direct path to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But that push pulse, that's what that is. And that's Epenesa's bread and butter. But it's like you said, oh, the first time I watched this young man corner, I was up out of my chair.
It's crazy, man. It's so hard to imagine that he's going to do that. And then it's funny because you watch a couple of plays of his where he'll do a little bit of a speed move, right? It'll be like, this didn't happen on the first third and long I watched of him. But on the first third and long I watched of him, I watched him blow off the ball and I went, hold on here. Like, is this guy about to corner at some point in this game? Like, am I about to get a speed element from this dude? Like a speed bend element? Like later in the game, lo and behold, it's a third and long. Dude fires off the ball and he dips. He dips onto the shoulder. And I'm like, what?
His hip mobility for like 6'7", 270, whatever the heck he is literally ungodly. Like it's unrighteous. It's sacrilegious. It's from the devil. He sold something. This is not human. When I talk about hip mobility, right? When you clear those hips, so now your hips are past the offensive tackle. This is what Epenesa does really, really well. Is he gets into your frame and he's looking at you. He's lining you up like he's about to bull rush you. And then all of a sudden it's a two-handed swat and a bit of an ole. And he kind of sidesteps. He strafes a little bit to the outside. Now he's got his hips pointed at the quarterback. Well, you've got to get that inside leg down in the ground, catch your momentum, 280 pounds worth of it, flatten and drive. And you see him win 4 forced fumbles last year. Mm-hmm. That's a guy who's winning on the outside edge track. Mm-hmm. You don't force a lot of fumbles, you know, just doing bull rushes from the inside.
Yeah, because the quarterback's looking right at you. He's tucking it, you know, or the running back, whatever.
So, I mean, you watch him, but that Mississippi State film was the film where I really said, listen, I'm about to go bananas cream pie for this guy for the next 6-7 months. Oh, brother.
He's
AJ
awesome.
Epenesa, I draft him over 1 overall tomorrow. He's so good.
He's awesome. I think that he certainly has the mold of everything that you would want from a top 10 pick. I think that how high he ends up going just depends on, certainly his snap count is going to go through the roof compared to what it was last year. I didn't realize it was as low as you were saying at the beginning when we were talking about him, but
35%.
Gonna get a lot more, could really go bonkers. And I mean, I'm with you, man. He's just got all the tools. I think between him and Chase Young, if you're picking a guy today, I got no problem if you're picking Epenesa. I really don't. I'm not sure who I'm going to end up having as number one on Friday, but I will say that going into this, I was a really big Chase Young fan. And getting to watch all of these guys and a couple of more that we're going to get to watch, it's closer than I thought it was going to be. And that's really
no wrong answer situation.
That's really something to Epenesa's credit. Last guy that we're talking about, Penn State, Yetur Gross-Matos. Dude's built really well. He has a ton of weight in him. Look at this dude and you go, that's a powerful young man. And he is. I think that power is very much his game. Now, I think when I talked about Chase Young being a little bit unpolished because I think that he was working off of natural talent a little bit, I think the same for Gross-Matos. I think there's a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, I think there's a good amount of recklessness in his game, but the things that you like from him, the motor. I mean, people who are, I think, his size, who got to work that hard in the middle, who are really getting beat up along that defensive line. The fact that he is still firing off the ball the way that he is, the way that he has that motor, I think, throughout plays, that's something that you really enjoy. That's something where you look at this guy, you look at his frame, his size, what he does naturally as an athlete, and then you look at his motor and you go, I can work with that. I can make this guy one hell of a defensive end. And I think that's what the NFL is going to think of him, and they're certainly thinking about that right now. I will say, because I wanted to get to this note for sure, I thought the best games that I watched of him last year were Appalachian State, Pitt, and Indiana. I also watched, I think, Maryland and Rutgers. And they played App State and Pittsburgh the first two games of the season. They played Indiana right around the middle, and they played those other two at the very end. He looked like a different dude in those first two games, and I think he got exhausted as that year went on. I really do, because I saw way more bursts from him in that first half of the season, and I don't think he had a major injury or anything where he missed time. I think he was just exhausted in those last couple. So I will say that if you want to get, I think, the best of his effort or the best of his athleticism, a taste of what he can do, watch those early kinds of games. But then obviously, you know, you want to watch a guy's years as a whole because it matters. But certainly I think that he was the most unpolished of the guys that we talked about. But there is a lot to like. I think he's really toolsy, especially because of the natural power that he has.
I think we got to start very clearly and say that he is not in the caliber of Young and Epenesa, right?
No. He's closer to Jabari Zuniga than he is those other two.
He's in the Zuniga.
Now, if you like, I mean, like,
Allen
we
Robinson.
I mean, like, here. we like Zuniga, and I felt like Zuniga and Gross Matos had a similar game in certain aspects, but I think that he's closer to where Zuniga is than where the other two are.
Yeah, no, like I said, I think that he's in the Zuniga, Allen Robinson, Julian Aquara mold
tier.
More than
mold. They're way different.
More than tier. More so than he's in the Young and Epine. So this is just our top underclassmen that we knew of. You said reckless. Another word that came to mind was a little bit frantic, a little bit haphazard,
sure,
a little bit out of control.
And like, and that's sometimes something that could happen when you get younger players who play with high motors, right? They just want to effort, all, and it's sometimes it just becomes a little bit aimless.
And I have no doubt in my mind that Gross Matos, man, when he was playing in high school with his vines, like with his length, like, he was just throwing haymakers.
Oh, they didn't teach that. Probably didn't teach him a damn thing in high school.
Exactly. And so that's what you see when you watch his film, is you see a guy who's just, I mean, he's just throwing limbs at brothers. It's just, like, you know, there's no real rhyme or reason to it. There's no great sense of timing. As a pass rusher right now, he is far more traits than he is production. And that's okay when your traits are blue chip, because, like, lengthwise, great. I think he's probably the best off the ball of the three that we watched. Like, I think Young, athletic explosiveness-wise, may be equally explosive, like, when testing comes, push comes to shove. But in terms of getting off the ball, I think Gross Matos is the most dangerous in that first step. But then after there, like, yeah, there's the ability to bend and corner a little bit. There's the ability to rush with power that you've seen, but he's not softening the outside rush track with hands right now. He can't work his hands into a counter position when he initially gets blocked out. Like, as a pass rusher right now, he's just not a lot of production. There's not a lot there to lean on for me.
He gets into offensive tackles way too easy. I think you're right. He's pretty good off the ball when he's firing off, and I think he's trying to show, like, oh yeah, I'm trying to get off the ball quick. But he, like, gets off the ball quick and then straight into an offensive lineman's chest. And then I'm watching him get held up and locked up for a little bit. And I'm thinking to myself, you're way too strong to be getting locked up this often. And he does, and I really think that it's because he's firing off the ball a lot of times, and he's just firing off straight into the offensive lineman's chest. He's got to have a plan. This guy's got to have much more of a plan. And I will say this, too. I watched an interview of him when he was talking about big differences between his true freshman season and even last year. And he said, I've definitely learned a lot more about defensive schemes and offensive schemes. Like, I didn't really, it sounded like he really did not know what those were going into his freshman season. Like, he just, I mean, he was just playing football. It's like they were letting him loose. And that makes a lot of sense when you watch him play. There wasn't a lot of disciplinary study to the position or even his opposition when you watched him kind of play his tape. So I'm hoping that this year, it's been a lot more work in the film room. He's been watching, you know, some of the NFL greats, learning how you really become a pass rusher, getting the most out of the what you do, because I don't think that he really even knew that going into last year. And I think that knowledge of the game is going to be the biggest area where I would like to see Gross Matos improve, because I think through that, then you'll get some improved technique, you'll get a little bit better at block shedding, and won't get into some offensive linemen so much, because I do think that this guy's got a really great frame. I think he's got a good first step. I think he's strong in the lower body, which means he can really push some leverage. But he's got to know how to do it. And right now, I just don't think he knows how to do it.
Yeah. And there are a lot of good, successful rushers at the NFL who are winning with the sort of length, explosiveness profile that Gross Matos has.
Yes. His mold definitely wins in this league.
Right, exactly. I think I said that about somebody like on Monday, where it was like, I don't love him, but the NFL loves him. I can't remember what it is. But Matos, yeah, explosives plus length, like, that's going to be big for him. I want.
Who are you talking about? Who was it? Monday we talked about Okwara, Kareem, Jennings, and Zuniga.
Who's Jennings? No, not Anthony Jennings. I can't remember.
Bradley and I, maybe.
No, not an I. That's not long enough.
Daryl Taylor.
Maybe it was Okwara. It might have been Okwara.
Daryl Taylor.
People like Gasol. Well, it's not Taylor. That is a different mold. I mean, like Gross Matos is all legs. Like his stride length is out of this world. I want to see what's going to be fascinating to me is all right. So you've got that explosive first step, and you're good at you know, getting, like, you know, you get too tight into tackles, you get too physical into tackles, you minimize your length. We got to work on placing that inside hand. I think that inside hand is where things start. So we got to develop a long arm right into the chest, and then that hump move coming in underneath the inside shoulder, underneath the drag hand of the offensive tackle. That's why I need to start placing that inside hand at a better spot, because you're never really going to, like, he's got that two-handed swat to that rip. Like, that's where Epinesa wins. Gross Matos isn't winning with that. So I want to see that inside hand, that left hand for Gross Matos is going to be really important for me moving forward. That's where I would start in terms of we got to develop a long arm bull rush, and then we got to develop that hump move off the inside hand placement. So that's where if Gross Matos, if you're watching NFL players, go watch yourself some Khalil Mack. Go watch yourself some Carl Lawson. Go watch yourself some DeForest Buckner. That's where these guys are winning on the edge.
Hump move on hump day.
There you it know is. It, brother.
There it is. Wednesday's podcast. I really enjoyed watching these three guys. It's been a fun edge class. These guys are, I mean, we talked about the two guys at the top that were fantastic. And obviously, Gross Matos says, a mold that the NFL is going to love. And if he can improve, man, again, we're talking about another guy that the NFL is going to be tempted to take in the first round just because of what he is capable of. We have, I know Ben has on the schedule that we're doing three more edges tomorrow, but we're actually going to do four because I got a suggestion from one of you guys about an extra one. So we are doing four. Although Ben just agreed and said yes, and I was thinking about a private conversation that I had with somebody, so maybe Ben is thinking about somebody else, and we're going to actually do five.
Okay. Wild. The podcast is out of control.
Which is just absurd, but that's what we're here to do. We're here to intro as many guys as we can for you guys going into the college football season so you can be better scouts, so you can start making your big boards as early as possible. Especially on thedraftnetwork.com, which, wink, wink, that is going to be something that, you know,
hello,
Ben, I'm hearing you're going to be the able rumors. To do pretty soon.
Yeah, the many, many, you know, rumors and insiders that follow the updates of the Draft Network and leak it to sources at major sports publications, there are rumblings, Trevor, that 2020 Big Boards and Mock Drafts may soon be available.
We are going to make the flip over. The whole site's going to go to 2020 very soon. Super excited to give you guys that. Until then, and until tomorrow, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.